It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the Racing Boys studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome to the show. It is one of those shows where we're going to sit here and we're going to shoot the bull today, folks. We're going to put the phone number up there so you can see it. If you'd like to call in, 816-833-8553, 816-833-8553. If you'd like to call in on the show, we'd like to hear from you. Ryan Ragland will be calling in, and we'll be talking a little bit more about the King of America race last weekend down at Humboldt Speedway in Humboldt, Kansas. We'll be talking to him and everything that was going on down there. Totally different night one, night two. Night one, really rough, rugged racetrack. But Johnny Allen and his staff put together a really good track on Saturday night. It was still a little bit rough, but it wasn't too bad. But it was still pretty good action down there. And so we'll talk to Ryan Ragland about that. Listen, Ryan's been a really great asset to the Racing Boys over the years. He goes to a lot of races and reports for us. He does a great job. He does podcasts. He does games, sports. So he's pretty good. Man, old Ryan's a good guy, isn't he?
He's been broadcasting. You know, when I first met him, I don't know about you guys, but when I first met him, it was out the Gardner. Our, my first year when we did the Gardner
Festival of the Trails.
Yeah. So that was he'd been around before then, but that was my first introduction to him. And he'd been helping us ever since. You know, that guy, he ran his own broadcast when he did the basketball.
So he was here when you first started, right?
Yeah. So like I said, I'd been here maybe, I don't know, I think maybe we'd been doing the show a couple years, uh-huh. And then we did that Festival of Trails, and he came up and introduced us, and we talked to him all that morning.
Good guy, man.
And, you know, he'd been doing his own broadcast for the Gardner Sabres, I'm going to say. Maybe, I can't remember what his car used to have the font on it, remember?
He's done a lot of sports.
And he was the broadcast. He was the actual, he did the whole thing.
Voice.
Before all they went, so now, if everybody knows, high school football, basketball, baseball is all done on a streaming service that kind of knocked those kind of guys off. Kind of like the big boys came in, knocked the little guys out.
Kind of like us at Race the Boys.
We know how that is. So we've had Ryan, and man, let me tell you something. If you give Ryan a topic and he knows about it,
right,
you can just push play, and he goes.
Yeah, no,
he's a good guy.
He's pretty good at it. So anyway, Todd, I got to step back.
Yes, sir.
And talk about this Will Smith thing again.
Yeah, things are a little different this morning than yesterday.
So Will Smith put out a statement. It's a written statement. Probably his publicist wrote it.
Yes.
It was I'm not sure he wrote it or not.
Well, you know, all the PR guys got together. They were all on the phone with each other 10 minutes after that happened.
Let me ask you something. I saw a picture yesterday. Somebody put a picture up.
Yeah, you were saying something about that.
And it really looked to me, I'm going to go a little conspiracy theory here, just a little bit. It appeared to me that this was a setup. And the reason I say that is, if you really pay attention to Chris Rock, he puts his hands behind his back, he leans forward, he puts his chin down, and he tightens his jaw up like he knows he's going to get slapped. Did you see that, Todd?
I saw it after everybody started pointing it out, that he was in the tuck position, and I had it there.
It was like he was prepared to get punched.
Well, there is. I follow a few WWE wrestlers, and they you say fake or whatever, but they do slap each, when they slap on TV. They slap each other on
they got to make it hurt. Yeah, a little bit.
And you can, I know you can take a punch. Heck, Chris Rock just took a hell of a punch. We know that. So
right.
But I saw a WWE guy say, he looks to me like he's been trained to be ready to be able to take it without being dizzy and being knocked off, which means, like you said, tuck your chin. Don't let your head bobble after you've taken the, because once your head starts flopping around, that's when you can fall down, you're concussed, that type of thing.
Right.
And he was tucked and
he had his chin down. He had his jaw tight. He was like in position to get punched.
Yeah. I don't know. It came real quick. So
Let me ask you this, Todd. If somebody insulted your wife to where it bothered you that much that you would walk up on the stage when millions of people are watching the show, would you slap Chris Rock or would you punch him?
Yeah,
that's the whole thing. You look at the way he holds his hand.
Yeah.
And the way he slapped him and the way that Chris Rock had his chin down and he tightened it up and like he was ready to take a punch.
Yeah.
So sure that that's not a setup. Agree with me on that?
We're looking at the apology now. I've got that up on the screen for everybody to see so you can read it. Like I said, I'm always good for a good conspiracy, and I'm sure if we got old Scotty Cook on, man, he'd go off on it. But yeah. I did see more than one person did say that. that looked like it was set up, and...
I don't know. I'm just looking at it at a different angle, the way that he was all postured up just like he was ready to take a shot.
Yeah,
wrestler.
Yeah, all I do know is if you watch the speech after all that happened, the acceptance speech by whoever it was, I think it was the drummer for the Tonight Show, or you know, that drummer guy, he wrote
The Roots?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He won for something. And we see them on the stage, him and the other. There's some other people on stage.
I didn't see that part.
Chris Rock, he could already see that a bruise is forming on. It wasn't a
softie.
No, it was a real shot. And somebody else said, yeah, you know, other than the fact that he has darker skin, his face had much more red on that side of his face than the other side. So they said it was definitely, and if you watch him, you could tell he was still pretty stunned. Like he didn't know what to say, what to do because he's a presenter on that award, that one.
Right.
And he was standing back there behind him and had that look on his face. Like, I'll pull that up here, but he had that look on his face. Like, what do I do right here? Like, this is a strange, my biggest thing was, I think somebody in the Academy, there has to be better security. I know these are, everybody is one in their own. When you're at the NAMM show, I go to this music show once a year. I don't go anymore, but back when I was in the music business,
yeah.
The only people who are allowed to come into these things are musicians. So the musicians kind of let their guard down, right?
Right.
Because there's no fans.
They have a pass.
Everybody's in there for a reason. It's kind of like being on the infield of the Chili Bowl, right?
Right.
Everybody's supposed to be there because uh-huh. you've been cleared. Well,
right.
That's... I don't know, man.
To be honest with you, it's funny that Scott says on here a slap is more disrespectful.
That's what I figured in the African American community.
A slap is more disrespectful.
Yeah, Rick James. Haven't you ever seen the thing, Rick James?
Let me tell you something.
Slap to the face.
Me personally,
you come from a different place though.
I'm giving him this.
Yeah. But I think he thinks maybe that a slap is a violent thing, so he doesn't get arrested. Maybe and Chris Rock, like if you assault Chris Rock with a fist, I'm pressing charges if I don't fire back at you. But a slap,
so you think a slap is the reason he didn't press charges?
Because it makes him kind of look like, man, I ain't gonna press charges. That dude slapped me.
What did he say? He said Will Smith just slapped the shit out of me.
And then somebody said Will Smith or Chris Rock can take a joke better than Will, or take a smack better than Will Smith can take a joke. So
there is some truth.
That's
in
some
that.
Truth to that. Yeah. So yeah, it's but like you said, both of them have released apologies this morning, and even Chris Rock, he said,
"What would Chris Rock say? It's like he forgives him?
As a comedian,
I wouldn't forgive that guy for nothing.
He said, as a comedian, you have to pick and choose some of the stuff that you talk about on stage. And
listen, Joy on The View the other day, I think it was yesterday. I didn't see it, but I heard it secondhand. She said that this is going to make people that are comedians nervous to make fun of people in the crowd because they might come run up there and punch them in the face.
It already happened last night. So a comedian already addressed the crowd last night at an event. It was on TikTok. So the comedian comes out there and he says, before y'all even get going on this thing, he goes, if you got any soft bones,
get out now
because I'll be making fun of you. And if you think you could run up on this stage and not get your ass kicked, bring it on up here. He goes, because I'll knock every one of you off this stage. I got no problem doing it.
Yeah.
And he goes, so I'm just setting precedent right now. Everybody in this crowd, if you think you're going to run the stage, me and my boys are going to jump you. So,
yeah, there's security back there.
And that's,
you know, and that's probably what comedy houses are going to have to do. They're going to end up having to get plenty of security to keep people up off of the stage.
Yes, sir. Kansas City Comedy Club already released a statement, said the only statement we'll be releasing, only statement you'll be giving will be to the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. And there will be no other statements being read. Understand? So don't think you can come up and talk to any of our clients that are on stage. So yeah, the Kansas City Country Clubs or Comedy Clubs are already addressing it. Yeah, that's what my biggest concern is. Think about Kirk Elliott up there doing his monologue, and somebody gets upset that he said something that wasn't right. I mean, it's so far-fetched, but what I'm saying is just a guy trying to do his job.
Let me tell you something. Anybody ever put their hand on Kirk Elliott?
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember a time
they would have to answer to me.
I remember a
time. Because I'm telling you, anybody puts their hand on Kirk Elliott, I'm coming down on him with vengeance.
So me and Kirk Elliott were shooting.
There's no way I would let anybody put their hand on Kirk Elliott.
I don't know where we were at.
It's my brother.
We were at a car show. We were shooting video, me and Kirk, for our TV show. We had a Racing Boys had a TV show, Racing Boys TV,
back in the day. Yeah.
And you were on the road.
Yeah.
Me and Kirk were out shooting video at a car show somewhere. I can't remember where we were
Somebody come up and give Kirk some shit?
Kirk was leaning on the guy's car.
Oh, don't do that at a car show, Kirk.
And he didn't mean to. He was filming, and he backed up and was kind of on it. And this guy was kind of special. I'll just say that. You know, he had some mental challenges.
Yeah.
And
he came over and said something to Kirk.
I'd only been with you guys maybe 2 years at this point, and I was like, you know me, I'm not a confrontational type of guy.
You're laid back, dude.
But I had to get to him. I said, hey. He had no idea, sir. And I go, we're shooting it. And I go, we apologize. And I said, and he's like, it's all right. I just, and I was like, don't even mess with Kirk Elliott now. And like I said, I thought of you immediately because I was like, man, Scott wouldn't have handled it that way because that dude ran right up on him like, hey, and I was like, ooh.
No, I would have backed him up.
So I did step in. Normally I step aside, but I stepped in.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's just one of those cases where you're protective of your family,
Most definitely. Yeah, family. You can. I can say something about my family, but don't you dare.
Right, don't you say it. To say that is the same as with Kirk.
That's right.
I can give Kirk shit all day.
But don't you ever.
But don't you give it to
him. That's right, man.
Because if you do, you're going to hear from me.
Right. I'm the brother. So
right. I'm protective of old Kirk over
there.
It's
just like a brother situation. Like I look at Scott as kind of like I see him as my older cousin. That's the kind of relationship. I mean, he's like a brother, but he's a little older than... There's Ryan for us. Yeah, that's how I kind of look at Kirk as an older brother.
All right. Anyway.
Well, there's old Ryan. So, yeah, I always do look at, like I said, I look at you like not an uncle. You're too old to be my uncle, kind of, but more, I mean, too young to be my uncle. But
I'm only 12 years older.
Yeah. So
how old are you now?
I'll be 54 this year, but I'm 53 right now.
I'm older than you now, so I'm 8 years older.
I look at you like my oldest cousin is the same age as you. So I look at him.
I got you.
And Kirk reminds me of my uncles.
Yeah.
And that's how I look at you guys. They're family.
I got Marie has asked and Caleb has asked, how's Austin? Austin's still sick today.
I think I gave him my gunk.
I think you give it to him.
And I stayed away longer than I thought I even should have, and I still gave it to him.
Right. Why don't we do this real quick? Tell Ryan we're going to take a break and then we're going to come back to him real quick.
Yes,
okay?
Sir. We'll do
All right, let's do that. We'll take a commercial break. You're watching Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. When we return, Ryan Raglan and I are going to talk about King of America down at Humboldt Speedway this last weekend. That's all next right here on Mostly Motorsports.
Inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod and Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod and Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod and Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod and Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodandsupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, again live from the Racing Boys studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. Want to welcome everybody to the show. A lot of great people tuning into the show. Our regular listeners are in there. We appreciate you guys so much. You have no idea how much we appreciate you guys that tune in every day on the show. It means a lot to us. Got a lot of regulars that tune in with us each and every day. And joining us now is a longtime friend of the Racing Boys. He's reported for many of events over the last, gosh, Ryan, how many years you been doing this for us?
Oh, geez. It's got to be 10 years or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we were thinking.
Something right? Like that.
Yeah.
And I got to thinking about it. Scott, me and you and Kurt have known each other for 20 years. I moved here in December 2000. And you were running over at I-70.
Yeah.
And I think the first time we met, the car was on display in Olathe. And brought the kids over, and they thought it was the coolest thing. And we came out to watch Scotty T run, and been there ever since.
What year was that? Do you remember?
That'd be like 01, 02.
Has it been that many years?
That was what he said. Yep. Yeah.
Well, hold on now. I quit racing full time in 2002.
Well, you had the Praxair?
Was I in my modified at that time?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, so that had to be at the earliest. That would have had to be 2000, 2001. Was it modified white at the time?
Yep, white and red.
Yep. Yep, that was definitely 2000, 2001. So you've been helping us that long.
That was when he introduced.
How about that?
Yeah, that's when he introduced.
That's crazy, man. That's unbelievable.
I've been here so long, I can now say I remember when.
Right. Well, that's a good thing. Ryan, night number one of the King of America down there at Humboldt. Man, I don't want to kick on Johnny Allen and their staff because they rallied back on Saturday night. But on Friday night, that track was rugged, man. It was rough.
Well, and they had no other choice. They had the cars there. They tried to get it going Thursday, and it just was not going to work. And, you know, like I said, Saturday, I thought during the qualifying last for the A-Mods, I thought it may not be too bad. And it just, as soon as they started getting more and more cars on there, you kind of see the little divots in the middle of the corners starting to come in. And it was almost one of those deals, the more and more you try to help it, the deeper you got, and they had to do what they had to do. I mean, they've been dealt a hand. Mother Nature was not kind to them.
No doubt.
When you have, 180-some cars, you got a lot of money invested in that thing. You know, you've got racing dirt there, and, you know, then they turn it around on Saturday. They actually had some help from Mississippi Valley Speedway.
Yeah.
They had some of the crew come up and give me a hand with that. And I'll tell you what, I didn't hear one person complain about it.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
The circumstance, I knew what was going on, and they did what they had to do.
Caleb Harvey on here said, imagine if they would have tried to run on Thursday. There was no chance that was going to happen, right? No chance at all.
Never even got a car on the track.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you, and I'm with Caleb. I think that would have been a disaster if they would have done that. They would have tore up a lot of cars, a lot of parts, and a lot of people probably would have loaded up and went home, to be honest with you, if they would have tried to run on Thursday.
And I'll even give you an example. Back in the day, and I was even talking to John Allen's son, Kenton, John ran a July 4th in Nevada way back, and this had to be – 10, 11, something like that. And they had tons of rain. They tried to get it going. And it was more rough than what Humboldt was on Friday.
Mm.
And I remember John was leading it, and he got past going in the last corner of the last lap by Ryan Wentworth. And Kenton told me, he said, that's only the second time in his life he ever remembered his dad being that close of just packing the car up.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to tear it up. And that's, and you know, I've seen one other track that was just as bad where the lead car rolled it in one and two.
Mm.
And, you know, by itself because the track was so rough. And I, you know, that's the last thing Todd Staley, John Allen and a crew want, and they did the right thing.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And then on Saturday night, I guess they got a blade up there, didn't they? Where they could blade the track a little bit and try to get some of the roughness out of it. Isn't that what they did? They borrowed a blade from somebody else?
Yeah, and they had to get down into it. They were going to have to get down to where the moisture was, because if they didn't get past that, all that was going to happen was that stuff was just going to sop right back up again.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just going to, that base is already soft enough, and, you know, it sounds cliche, but if you don't have a good base, you don't have much of anything.
Yeah. Man, Jake O'Neill, he was so fast, but there at the end on Saturday night, Darren Fouquet, he made a run at him right there at the end of the race, didn't he?
He gave a charge. I was kind of wondering if, you know, and the last thing that O'Neill wanted was that last caution, because he had he had a good size lead. He was comfortable.
Right.
And, you know, Fuqua was just chomping at the bit that one time. But and it he was it, it was kind of strange that O'Neill was running a line to the speed that no one else was able to. There was people, other people running up there and everything else, but they just couldn't quite get the hold of it. And I think that just went to the talent of O'Neill being able with that throttle control and, you know, get into one and two, there was a little bit of a ripple and you had to get the car set and your corner entry the right way. If you didn't, you know, you were going to lose it. It was going to wash up in a two and who knows what was going to go underneath you. And, the only trouble that I remember that O'Neill got into, he was going around Sorensen coming out of two, and Brandon Gibbons had gotten loose coming out of two just a little bit, and they were almost going three wide, and Gibbons came down a little bit, and O'Neill kind of backed off just enough. If Brandon Gibbons keeps coming down, because I don't think he knew that O'Neill was there, that could have been dangerous. That could have taken out O'Neill and Sorensen.
Right, right. Sorensen picked up the win down at Rocket Raceway Park in Petty, Texas here a couple weeks ago. Derek Ramirez, he was leading that race, but I'm not sure what lap it was on, but O'Neill got around him. And you know what was really interesting is O'Neill started on the fifth row and worked his way right through the field quickly. It didn't take him long to get to the front.
Yeah, they hit that first caution, and he was like 10th to 5th.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's when you're going, and that's usually what I kind of look at sometimes. I remember up at I-80 that, you know, Bobby Pierce Jr. had to start way back in the field, and he was making his way up quick. Well, he had passed over half the field by the halfway mark. And that was a guy I started looking at because you're going, okay, now they're bunched up. What's going to happen with adjustments and stuff?
Yeah.
The same thing with O'Neill. They don't have the adjustments, but, man, it's when you see them coming up, like I said, he was just able to work everything through. I mean, for God's sakes, he's lapping Rodney Sanders.
Right.
By lap 33. When was the last time you saw Sanders getting lapped?
And Rodney Sanders ran 17th. By the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was lap 33. He lapped him. And then, he passed Carlos Amata, who was a preliminary winner last year. Who else did he lap? Tyler Davis, who just comes off a USMTS win a couple weeks ago. I mean, there were some, you know, Mullins finishes top 15, I think it was. There was just a lot of big names that just kind of surprising, but it's almost like that kind of track was suited for Neil, and you got a feel for him. He, you know, doesn't have the parts for four motors for the late model, so they decide to go modified racing. Oh, then I'm going to blow the motor right when I go across the start finish line.
We had Jake O'Neill on yesterday on the show. And it was the distributor. The pin in the distributor had went bad. He did not blow up the motor. And it was so funny because they kept talking about how he was waiting on his late model motors so he could go run his late model. And then they said he blew up his motor when he took the checkered flag. But yesterday on the show, he said that it was a pin on the distributor.
Tell me he didn't have a big sigh of relief when he figured that out.
Yeah, he did.
Plus the car owner's like, well, it just saved me about $20,000 right there.
Yeah, no doubt.
I appreciate that.
You know, Terry Phillips was up there in the mix. He was running up there. Looked like he was going to be a top five guy, but turns out that he gets hung up in that accident back there, and he ends up running towards the back of the field. Terry Phillips looked like he's got some pretty good speed in his car right now.
Yeah, he got into someone. I didn't see who it was, but he came around a couple times, and I looked down going, that's some nose damage. That might have done something. And kind of makes you wonder a little bit on what might have happened. And, one guy I'll give credit to is Jake Tim. He was running top five for, like, the first half, and, you know, and he kind of bounced back and forth from the modified to the late model. And, you know, you start wondering if they got some of their program going a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jake Tim, I think he ended up running. Let's see where he ended up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th. Jake Tim ended up running 7th.
That's pretty good for him.
Yeah, not too bad.
He's running the MLRA stuff. And last year he was running that. And I think that's a pretty good solid finish for him and for what they're needing. So that's not a bad start to the year for him.
Yeah. Did you have a chance to talk to Johnny Allen when you were down there, and how's he feeling about his new gig over there at Humboldt?
You know what? If there's a guy that's more busy than John Allen when he's running a track, I don't know. There's only one other person I know that just is always doing something. And the guy is just, he's business. He's serious. You know, when that's going on, and I didn't want to, you know, I did want to interject. I didn't want to, you know, get him out from what he's doing. I will get with him when they have the World of Outlaw Late Models there. I believe it's in August.
That's going to be a hell of a show.
Oh, that and 81 Speedway back-to-back.
Yeah, no
doubt.
That's
a doubleheader for me. And I will get with John, especially that'll be a good time when, you know, he's trying to coordinate both of those. He's got two tracks. Two track prep teams and all that going on. I'll tell you what, I don't know if there's a better person that to take over 81 and Humboldt and do them successfully than John Allen at the helm of doing the changes that he needs. Because you think about the respect factor that he has with all the other drivers in the area, and you know, I've got to think that when they hear it's a John Allen track or he's on, you know, take control over something.
Yeah.
Whatever John thinks he's going to do, because he's in this area. There's not a whole lot of guys that has a bigger name than that.
You know, Johnny Allen is one of those kind of guys, and he's kind of like a Tommy Estes, right? You know, when Tommy Estes traveled with the Lucas Oil ASES National Sprint Car Tour as the race director, he had the respect of everybody in the pits, right? I mean, everything, he just made good decisions on everything he did back in those days.
Yeah.
I think Johnny Allen's one of those kind of guys that you can put a lot of stock in, knowing that he's going to attempt to do the right thing, and he's not going to try to, you know, do anything shady. Allen's not one of those kind of guys.
Well, but and also you got to think about, you know, he runs a speed shop in Chanute.
Yep.
That, you know, and he has the speed shop at the track. I mean, I'm not sure what more you can say about him. I mean, people are calling about getting cars built and getting parts, and you know, when you're getting parts from someone, you want to get treated right with the best deal, and if something goes wrong, it gets fixed. And I've seen John do that firsthand. When something goes wrong, he's like, here, taken care of. Mm-hmm. You know, things happen. He doesn't sweat it. Probably one of the most mild-mannered guys that you're going to know. He just gets the job done.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And when you have that kind of respect with all the other drivers, and now they're running at your track, you know, you're not going to have a whole lot of issues going on.
Right, right. Dustin Sorensen has a 4-point lead over Jason Hughes. Tanner Mullins is third in points. Tyler Davis is fourth in points right now in the USMTS. Rodney Sanders is fifth. You got a favorite that you think is going to get in there and win the championship this year?
Well, you've got the two war horses in Sanders and Hughes. I mean, that's not surprising. Mullins, I can see him doing it. He had a really nice year. You're talking about a guy that, you know, has taken on the best of the best and won the Gateway a few years ago in St. Louis. Thornton having a great start of the year, and Davis already with a win. I mean, that's like put him in a hat and pick one out, and you're still probably going to get 4-1 odds on him. I would say either Sorensen or Mullins would be my top two picks, but you can't count out Sanders and Hughes. I mean,
Well,
when things go wrong, those guys know how to correct it.
And we know that Tyler Davis doesn't plan on running the full USMTS tour this year. You think Terry Phillips has a chance to get up there and mix it up with him?
You mean on a weekly basis or on
a championship level?
For the point. If he's going to run it, I think he does.
I'm not sure he's going to run it. Do you know if he is?
I don't think so either, but I don't think I've ever seen him actually run a full USMTS series because he's, running the late model and lot, and I think he's doing a lot of what other guys are doing. They're going for the money.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at late models, you've got Chris Madden, you've got Jonathan Davenport. Those two guys, Madden was leading World of Outlaws, and he's already committed to running for big money. You got Brandon Overton doing the same thing. That's almost becoming a standard, just going for the big money shows.
Yeah, no doubt. Well,
can't argue with him.
Yeah, well, that's true, right? So I guess this is it. This weekend they're going to race down there at the Texas Spring Nationals at Rocket Raceway Park. I think in Petty, Texas. Are they? Is that this? No. Back up. Hold on. I'm way off on the schedule right now. Let me roll a little bit forward here. And 16th annual Spring Meltdown at Hamilton County Speedway, Webster City, Iowa, this weekend.
That's not going to suck.
No, that won't be bad.
That's, and anytime I hear an Iowa modified, the first thing I think of is Gustin going to be able to run it? But, he's running the World of Outlaws. But, man, you've got some of the best IMCA drivers up there. You don't know where if they're going to be able to pick up a car and run USMTS. And you've got a lot of heavy hitters up in that northern area. They're going to drop down. That's going to be a show and a half for sure.
Yeah, well, Ryan, we really appreciate you taking the time to do all these races for us. I know that you'll be going to the Lucas Oil late model race at Humboldt as well as 81, and we know that you'll be representing Racing Boys when you do. We appreciate you always doing that, man. You've always been a great asset to the Racing Boys.
Yeah, it's always fun.
We appreciate everything that you do for us, buddy.
Well, you guys gave me the chance to do it. Like I told Kurt, it's you guys are giving me a chance to do things I probably wouldn't normally be able to do just with time and everything. So it's fun, and you guys have always been there, and you guys know anything I can do to help, I'm always there for you.
Well, we appreciate you a lot, Ryan. We thank you so much for doing that last weekend, and we'll be talking to you down the road, my friend, okay?
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. There's Ryan Ragland joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We are going to take a break. We'll come back with more of Mostly Motorsports. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Spirit Specialty Sportswear, in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. It's Mostly Motorsports here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. I'm Scott Traylor, again live from the Racing Boys studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. Want to thank everybody that's tuning in. Frog Hall says he's listening from Kansas City, Missouri. He said Brian Brown's car is at Andy's.
How about that? I heard that commercial today.
On Nolan Road.
I heard the commercial. Stephen St. John will be there if you're a local Kansas City. He's going to
like
be out
Steven's
there.
Like Steven's going to talk about racing.
Well, it's so weird because he's doing a lot of these remotes.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Andy's is the new sponsor over there.
Right, I know
Brian
that.
Brian Brown's on with Andy's now. And, man, you know what? This commercial's been playing for 2 weeks now on 810.
Let me just say this.
Oh, I know.
I'm going to go in an area I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to do it anyway. One thing that irritates the crap out of me more than anything on this planet, maybe, is the lack of motorsports coverage that we have on the local level here in Kansas City.
I think.
And I'm going to include my radio station. You know, we have races at Kansas Speedway, and they barely.
They wait for us to cover it.
Barely talk about the race. If any, they might not even talk about it, be honest with you. Sometimes they just act like the race wasn't even there, right?
Yeah, if the Chiefs are growling good
Royals are good. And it ticks me off, if you want to know the truth. It bothers me to no end that they think that motorsports is such a low-tier sport that they don't even have to cover it. They've got one of the best NASCAR tracks in the country here in Kansas City, and nobody on the local news hardly talks about it.
I'll go one step
further. You think that pisses me off, Todd?
Yeah, I know it does. I'll go one step further. When Racing Boys Track Talk Show is no longer on WHB, whenever that happens.
Whenever that's going to be.
10 years, 20 years down the
Who
line.
Who knows? No, Kirk's going to... No, listen, it's going to be me and you,
well,
because Kirk's going to be gone in August.
September, August, July. Who knows?
Sometimes. You know.
But anyway, after us, there will be no talk on the radio probably about racing other than
well,
the
I
weekend
doubt
they
I,
come in.
I mean, doubt I want to give up talking about motorsports.
No, I'm just saying, if we wasn't on the radio, there would be no talk of motorsports.
Oh, there wouldn't be any.
So I'm saying if
any.
The day we go off the radio, there will be
the
no.
The day that the motorsports die.
That's right. There'll be no talk at all. Other than
bye, Miss American Pie.
So I was going to say one more thing. Man, Lee Spencer was not lying when she was saying how loud these NASCAR cars are.
Hold on. Before we get into this subject, let's talk real quick. Let me get my phone here and tell you who's at Kansas Speedway today. They're doing a tire test at Kansas Speedway today. Lee Spencer texted me this morning. We weren't able to get any of these guys on, but Christopher Bell, Reddick, and Blaney are testing tires for Goodyear at Kansas Speedway today. And Todd, you say you live 4 miles from the racetrack, and you've never been able to hear the race cars at your house before, right?
Not like that. The only place I've ever been able to hear them was in my bathroom, in the actual bathroom part, the little part of the bathroom, with the door shut. And that's in the winter, the fall race. Hey, Kirk. And that's the fall race. And that's when the leaves are off the trees. Let me tell you something. That track is so loud. Those new racetracks, the cars are so loud. I heard them in the car this morning. I can guarantee you that these are... I don't know. These are the loudest cars I've heard at the Speedway, period. And they've tested a lot of things out there. This car is extremely loud. They only had four cars or three cars running out there, right?
Right.
And let me tell you something.
You could hear it from your bedroom.
In my bedroom. I turned the TV down and thought maybe something was coming down the road or a helicopter was coming. No. I immediately knew what it was. I could hear the accelerator on and the accelerator off.
And?
Let me tell you something.
Accelerator on.
All right.
So, yeah, it was... When Lee said they were going to be louder, she was not exaggerating by any means.
So do you think the neighbors in Piper and around the Wyandotte County area are going to complain about the noise, you think?
Let me tell you. I know there's
a chance?
Yes, there will be. I think... Now, Piper's on the other
side. The non-motorsports fans hate NASCAR?
Well, the ones that...
The people that they took their houses from?
Well, those people probably moved way away. But the ones that are on that verge out there on Edwardsville, so that's the side on the countryside.
Yeah,
so that'd be heading south of the racetrack. Those people are going to be inundated. Everybody on Edwardsville can tell you when the yellow flag comes out.
Huh.
I can guarantee you that because that's how much difference the sound is when they let off on the gas.
Can you imagine what 40 cars is going to sound like out there?
I
you might have to close your windows if you live near the racetrack.
That's the thing. In the summertime, it's the spring race. I'm really looking forward to hearing what the difference between the fall and the spring race because of the leaves on the trees definitely change. You get a lot of fall leaves, you know, falling and stuff.
Yeah.
So, but man, could you imagine being out there working out there at the racetrack? And out there like we have all those years.
Yeah.
And now you're out there. And
we've got our own studio out there.
And now everything's changed. It's going to be, I can guarantee you, Scott, the building that the people that use the little back office that all the all the beat reporters use.
Yeah.
That's facing Victory Circle.
You think it's going to be so loud in there?
Yes. You won't be able to open those doors up this year.
Really?
I can guarantee you that. When you open those doors up
right by our studio in the media room.
That's right. When you open those doors.
I think it's going to be too loud.
When we have a little back, you know, when you're in the media center, there's a little back door to get you to the Victory Circle real quick for us. Those doors, when you open them during a race, it's loud anyway. And you kind of have to be, you got to get that door shut anyway.
Right
now, I can guarantee you it's going to be so loud that they will probably have to shut the door on the other side. Not the one we use, but the other one, because if you open that door, there's no way that they'll be able to talk to people even on on their headphones. It's
loud. Right, right.
Which is cool, I think.
Yeah.
I like loud cars and stuff. I think that's kind of a cool idea.
Well, I want to give a little bit of an announcement out today. They were supposed to have an IMCA modified and stock car race out at I-70 Speedway this weekend. They were going to have two complete shows, Friday and Saturday. But unfortunately, those shows, the IMCA modifieds were going to pay $2,500 to win, and the stock cars were going to pay $2,000 to win. And that was supposed to be this weekend at I-70 Speedway, but they have canceled that event. And let me tell you why they said they canceled. Due to the forecast moisture and temperatures that at or below freezing overnight this week, the Thursday practice night and IMCA modified and stock car event scheduled for Friday and Saturday has been canceled. All racers and spectators will be refunded.
That's kind of a bummer, but we did have some rough weather.
Yeah, because I would have went out there and watched that show. Yeah, I mean, anytime I can go to I-70.
Yeah.
I love that place.
We just had a lot of water and really cold temperatures. Heck, it's still only 50 degrees right now out there. So I thought
they said it was going to be 77 today, or almost 80 degrees.
It's going to be. And what's happened is, so they're supposed to have been pouring down rain today here in Kansas City, but they were behind about 12.
Severe weather, yeah. They're talking, right?
So it's tonight, overnight is when it's moving in now. So all that warm weather is coming up, but it's about 10 hours later than what they thought. So, yeah, we were always supposed to be warm, but it's going to be here this afternoon. And unfortunately, I think we're going to be in for another big rain and then no more warm temperatures. It looks like just mediocre temperatures again. So it's not like we're going to have a great warm-up.
Did I tell you that the transmission went out of the Equinox?
Yeah, I don't like transmission talk.
Oh, my gosh. It's horrible. We just bought the Equinox so I could drive it, right? It's a high mileage unit, so you kind of know that, you know, there's a chance that maybe something like that could go on, right?
It's market, though. It's what you got.
No, it's a nice looking little Equinox. It's in good shape. I bought it from Deidre. She bought a new car, and I told Deidre to go to the store. Her car was in the garage. My car was outside. I said, Deidre, go to the store. You can just take my car if you want. She said, okay, I'll take it. She calls me and says, the car's not shifting.
Oh, man. You're like, I was just driving it.
Well, we were just about an hour before that. And I said, what do you mean it's not shifting? When I give it gas, it revs up. It's not going anywhere. She says, I can take off and go, but then when it gets to about third gear, it starts acting that way. So I take it down to our good friends at Shield Automotive down here on Antioch Road. Tim Shields, folks, here's what I do. I take my cars to racer shops. That's what I do.
Yes, sir.
If you're a racer, I'm going to support you by bringing my equipment or my cars or whatever I have to the race shop, to your shop. You know, it's just the thing that I like to do. Support the local racers, right? Tim Shields does a great job. He's done a really good job with his stuff many times. And I took it down there yesterday, and they didn't get with me all day long. And I'm thinking, oh, no, this is not good. Not good. Not good. Not good. Not good. So I drove down there about 5 o'clock, and they just rolled it into the shop. And Deidre starts explaining to Tim what it did. And he goes, that doesn't sound good.
I don't like to hear that.
So, needless to say, I'm going to have to probably get a new transmission put in the Equinox.
Well, there's good news and bad news today.
What's the good news, Todd? The
good news is once you get that new transmission in there, you're going to have pretty much a new.
Well, the one thing about that Equinox is those motors in those, it's a four-cylinder motor.
That's right.
And they had a problem with the rings seating up on those motors when they get high mileage, and then they start using a ton of oil. Well, we had a mechanical a warranty on it, right?
Yeah.
And so when it came time to fix the motor in it, it was a $4,000 job, and it only cost Deidre about $150 to get it done, right? We took it out to McCarthy Chevrolet out there in Olathe. They fixed it. And now the transmission's out. So here's the question that I ask people. And you guys, you tell me what I should do here, all right? What should I do? Should I put a new transmission in it, or should I get rid of it? That is the question.
That's the question of the day.
The question of the day is, do I keep the car, or do I put a new transmission in it and just drive it till the wheels falls off of it?
You know, in the old days, when I say old days, we're just talking 5 years.
Didn't your HHR, didn't the transmission start acting up and in?
That's right, it did.
I found another HHR, a panel wagon one up here at Chuck's Trucks.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen it sitting up there? That white one?
I did see it sitting up there.
Buy that thing for $3,500.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, nowadays...
But it's got 212,000 miles on it.
You might be in the same situation you are in your...
Right.
With the way the car market is, I just know this for a fact, man. My stepdad and his they run a, he has a friend of his that runs a car lot. He's the accountant for him, and man, it's really hard to find cars right now. I mean, really hard. These guys are going all over the country trying to find cars.
Well, you know, Kirk and I sold our truck to a dealership.
Yeah.
And we had to stroke a check on top of it for $10,000.
$10,000
on top of it.
But right now,
that's how far we were upside down in that
thing.
When
you're upside down, you got to bite the bullet. But right now, it's really hard to find good used cars. So my vote would be is, man, you've already dumped the money in. The engine's been fixed.
Here's the thing, Todd.
You get that
Equinox is worth about $6,000 or $7,000. Right. We've only got four in it.
So you're still under.
We're still under the number.
So you're good to go.
Yeah.
I think, like you said, you have another. What else could go wrong? You've already replaced the two major component, the rear end. I guess you could start having problems. You know what the problem was on that HHR? I remember now. It was the brakes. I was having some serious issues with the brake system with it, and that was
what was going on.
It was just, and he told me, he goes, "Hey man, we can fix this, but we'll have to put all new everything."
Was going to cost you a fortune.
Yeah, and it was just because I'd wore it out. I had 250 or 300 some, and they're fine. But it was on the highway, man. When you'd brake after high speeds.
It wobble.
Oh my gosh. It felt like you had warped rotors, and they already had cheap rotors on those cars anyway. And nowadays, it ain't like the rotors we had when we were a kid.
Right.
Where you could go get them turned twice and put them back on.
Right. Just spin them around and get them turned down and run them again.
I mean, I had a guy laugh at me. He goes, "Man, when was the last time you had brakes done? What do you mean we're going to turn those?" He goes, "You can't turn those kind of brakes." He goes, "I put a layoff, did that on a lay," and he goes, "The thing will come apart like butter." He goes,
really?
They're just not made the way. You know, there's some higher end cars, but the brakes that are put on a lot of these lightweight cars, the brakes are more of a maintenance part. You know, you're going to be putting on brake pads a lot and brake rotors a lot. And the brake rotor's not as expensive like they used to be in the old days.
Hey, we were talking a little bit earlier before the show came on. You've heard of that Black Country Communion, right?
Yeah, and I hadn't heard.
You know what's funny is, you know who that Glenn Hughes is?
Yeah, he's a bass player for
Deep Purple.
Deep Purple. All
yeah, and he plays with Joe Bonamassa on this album as well as Jason Bonham.
Yeah, he plays with a lot of people. That old boy,
he's got some
lines in his face, man.
Man, he is. He's got some deep ones, doesn't he?
Man, and he's really active on Facebook himself.
Is he?
Yes, and I like artists that actually do their own Facebook and not have somebody post their stuff up for him. You know,
does it himself.
You can tell because it's the way it's posted. You know, it's pictures.
You mean the way it reads?
Yeah, yeah. And the pictures aren't always.
I'm terrible at posting up.
And
shit,
they're not as flat. Everything isn't like completely flat. Like somebody didn't take four pictures and took the best one out of the four. Right? He just took a picture and put it up there. Which I completely dig. You know, those kind of people that do that stuff. But I hadn't heard them for a long time, Scott. Like you said, I'm pulling up their
I'm trying to figure out what year they started the band.
So they have a new album out. That's why you're probably hearing about them. September 22nd looks like they have a new album coming out.
Oh, really?
Pulling it up. That's up there on the big screen for us now. So
All right. That's
probably why we're starting to see some social media buzz in his face.
Man, they're really good, though.
No, they're really, really,
really good.
If you're a classic rock fan with good hard rock-driven, blues-based rock, it's really... And it's not blues, but I'm talking blues-based rock.
Well, it's got Joe Bonamassa playing the guitar. Let me tell you something about Joe Bonamassa. People think he's just a blues guy.
That's what I was going to say. He steps out of his
blues.
That
guy can play rock and roll like anybody else.
Yeah, no, he's been playing... You got to understand, when I was a little kid...
Well, he was 12 years old. He was playing with B.B. King.
Yeah, I had a guitar magazine when he first showed up. So in the back of these guitar magazines back in the day, and I'm talking guitar magazines they were called Guitar for the Practice of Musician. And what they were is they'd have stories about everything, and then they'd have four songs in it with all the music in it. And then at the very back, they'd show you three artists to watch, you know, keep an eye on these people. And they'd always have people. And I remember reading this kid, and he was eight. right?
When he was Bonamassa was.
Yeah, and this is before. There's no internet. There's no WW nothing.
You're just reading out
of
a book.
You're just reading this stuff. So you can't find these kids like you can now. Mm-hmm. And somebody had sent in, obviously his dad or somebody, and had posted a picture of him playing on a stage at like 9 or 8 or 10, something like that. And I thought, man, that's pretty impressive. Then wasn't but about 2 years later, there he was playing with B.B. King, you know, and I thought,
crazy.
This guy's for real, you know. And like you said, he's been playing blues for so long, Scott, that he's already kind of gotten bored with the blues part of it. And now, like you said, he does these type of bands.
So he can get out of his comfort zone a little bit.
Because it's trust me, as a blues, I play a lot of blues. I listen to everything, but I play more blues than I play anything. There's not much you can do with blues. there's only a few songs that, unless you're really a talented blues player, like a Hendrix,
like Joe Bonamassa.
That you could come up with new things.
He can noodle, bud.
Yeah, and so therefore, he grew up in the age like I did. He loved guitar players. He filming through these magazines, looking at the Eddie Van Halens, the Steve Vais, all these guys. He grew up, you know, he was just a blues guy that happened to, so that dude, he smokes.
Bentoncourt.
Yeah,
right.
He just smokes. So I'm looking forward to this new album. I had no idea they had a new album coming out, but.
Yeah, because they're more rock albums.
Yeah, and there's a picture, like you said, and if everybody don't know, John Bonham's son, Jason Bonham, on the bass.
He might be better than his dad.
Well, he is, but he had way more years to play. You know, poor old John wasn't around.
He died young.
Died young and drank hard, so you got to figure.
What year did John Bonham die? We were doing this a little bit earlier. Let's find out real
81.
Quick.
81.
What year did John Bonham die?
1980. There you go. Man, I don't usually guess them right too often, but I remember that one.
You know what?
I remember that.
But he died of alcohol abuse, didn't
he? There's a song. Ozzy Osbourne's song, Suicide Solution, is about that.
John Bonham
away. Him and ACD and Bon Scott.
Bon Scott.
So
they just drank themselves to death.
Bon Scott, they found him in a car frozen. Not frozen, but hypothermia, drunk himself to death, falling asleep in a car in the wintertime.
And died because of the... from
drunk alcohol and, you know, once alcohol unthawed him and...
Yeah,
but they're a great band, and like I said, if you're, I'm not much familiar with the bass player. I mean the other who's the other guy you said?
Oh, I can't remember his name now.
And he's the only guy that I'm not familiar with, but these other three guys are very
Derek Sherian.
There you go. That's the only person that, and I usually can. I follow a lot of guys, so I'm going to check that guy out. Hey, did you see this? I don't know if you noticed. Look on the big screen. Oh my gosh. People in Kansas City are freaking out.
What about?
Reports Chiefs approached by developers to consider move to Kansas.
That's not going to happen.
No, this is on Channel 9 News.
It's not going to happen. What's going to happen is they're going to tear down Kauffman.
Move it downtown?
Move it downtown by the river, and the Chiefs are going to stay right where they're at.
They'll have to build a new stadium, though.
That's what's going to happen. Guarantee it.
This is the first time, though, that... I don't know. This is bigger than like a rumor, though. These are people that talk.
I don't care. It's not going to happen.
Chiefs President Mark Donovan talking, which is kind of scary when you hear the president saying, we're looking.
I don't believe that's going to ever happen. Never. Never. All right. We want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show. I want to thank Todd for filling in for Austin today. It's always good to always talk a little off motorsports a little bit here, and we've done a lot of that today, so we appreciate everybody that's tuned in and watched the show. We'll do it all again tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time. Is tomorrow Wednesday? Tomorrow is Wednesday, so we'll have Steve Post on tomorrow talking everything NASCAR and what's going on in the open wheel world. So tomorrow, Steve Post, the postman, will join us here on the show. We'll probably have somebody else join us as well. Yeah. On Thursday, Aaron Reitzel will be joining us on the show. We'll be talking about his Reutzel.
Yeah. I remember when that guy told
me. Wayne Johnson. He called him Reutzel.
And I hadn't been around you guys that long, right?
Right, right.
He was calling him that, and then I remember you or somebody walked up and said, "Don't, that ain't his name." Don't say
his
that.
Name is Reitzel.
And I was like, okay. Right. I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll do it all again tomorrow at 12 noon Central Time. We hope that you'll join us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. For Todd, for Kirk, I'm Scott. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports.